And now for our feature presentation.
From slow jams to club classics, rare gems to sing-along anthems, this is soul music at its best. Welcome to Sweet Grooves with Mike Pantelli.
Welcome once again to another edition of Sweet Grooves. To all the affiliated, welcome back. You know how we do it. To all the newcomers, this is all about soul music. We take it back and forth through the decades, checking out the finest soul selection and everything under the soul umbrella right here for you in a nice little two-hour show each and every week. Now, this particular show is a special one because we're focusing solely on the music of one group in particular, taking it back to the late 70s when they first appeared on the scene and into the 1980s where they lit up the charts and we took them to our hearts, especially here in the UK. I am talking about the excellent Shalamar. And joining me through the wonders of technology on the line right now, direct from Nigeria, to help me out with this special show, I have one third of that group, Mr. Jeffrey Daniel. Jeffrey, how you doing?
Mike, how are you? How's it going over there?
It's fantastic. It's really good to touch base with you. It's great to have you on my show.
Great. Hey, it's great being here. Thank you for having me.
Now, before we get started, I just got to say I'm a huge Shalimar fan. I'm sure, like so many other people listening out there right now, also big, big fans of the group. And your music has played a huge part in the soundtrack of mine and their lives. As an artist, does that ever really sink in?
In a sense, yes. In another sense, no, because there are artists in our lives that have the same effect on us. And yeah. So, you know, like your Paul McCartneys and, you know, your Michael Jacksons and so on. So there are people out there who've had that same effect on us. So we're always looking at that and trying to achieve that. Yeah. Until there's moments like people like yourself or someone comes and reminds us that, hey, we're...
Oh, the line dropped out a little there.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay, cool. So like I said, I'm a big Shalimar fan, and I'd imagine there are lots of people out there who feel the same way. But there's also the more casual fan who thinks, yeah, Shalimar, you know, Night to Remember, I Can Make You Feel Good. You know, they know the big hits, but they won't really know where you came from and where and why you went. So if you don't mind, I'd like to address that and first take it right back to the beginning. First of all, where you came from. Am I right in saying that you grew up in L.A.?
Yes, yes. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, with a single mom. Okay. And she had a gift of playing the piano. So every Sunday I was singing in church with my two older sisters with my mom on piano. That's how I began singing.
Okay.
And I began dancing at home with my mother and sister. So everything that I'm doing now professionally started at home. I was the youngest, so I was following them. And I was too young to know that, hey, this is not supposed to be a profession.
Right. <You know? laughs> So at what age did you get to when you thought, you know what, maybe I can make a career out of this. This is what I want to do in my life.
I don't think I ever got to the age where I made a conscious decision, because when I was younger, it wasn't like, hey, everybody on the block is making a demo. Everybody on the block is trying to get a record deal. Back then, stars were stars and you could only dream about it.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
In those days, there weren't computers, so there weren't home studios, or we didn't have access to things like this. It was something that you heard about, you know?
Yeah.
So I just continued doing what I love, which was dancing, dancing in the neighborhood, dancing at school, the dances that we were cultivating, you know, in the hood, or the things that were going around, singing along with the radio, or singing at a high school talent show contest, things like that.
Yeah.
And then the Soul Train television show came about, and that changed my life.
Of course.
When I saw Soul Train on TV, it was like, that was the place I have to be, because I was always dancing anyway. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, over in the UK, it never got syndicated over here, the original US version of Soul Train. I'm sure most people are aware of it now, though, via YouTube and DVD box sets. But obviously, that was your big first break. That's the first time the world got to see Jeffrey Daniel do his thing.
They knew, hey, that tall, skinny guy with the big afro. They didn't know my name yet. But it was like, I'd be going down the street. Oh, there's the tall, skinny guy with the big afro. You know,
yeah.
It was that type of thing.
So didn't you and Jody Watley start at Soul Train together?
We didn't come to the show together.
Oh, okay.
I met her family before I met her, because she's from Chicago. Her mother and father came over to our church. Her older brother came out to L.A. for a while. Then Jody came out when she was 12 years old, and that's when I first met her. No one knew she could sing. Jody didn't know she could sing yet. But Jody went on to Soul Train, and I got on Soul Train, and then we became dance partners. I would go to her house after school. She was still in high school. I was just out of high school.
Okay.
So she was still in high school. I would go to her house after school, and we would practice these dance routines to do on Soul Train the next time the taping came up and that. And then we eventually became the most recognizable couple on the show.
Yeah, most definitely. So who was inspiring your dance moves? Were you just like being creative and doing them all yourself, or were you anyone you were watching to kind of get that inspiration?
Good question. I think my most earliest inspirations were people like James Brown, of course. I mean, everyone was doing the James Brown. The James Brown splits, the James Brown camel walks, sliding across the floor, the mashed potatoes, the wiggle.
Yeah.
After that, Fred Astaire had a very profound influence on me. Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly. Then when Soul Train came on, Don Campbell, who in my mind is the father of street dance, Don Campbell, because he started Lock, which became Locking, and he put together the group called The Lockers.
Yeah.
Robot Slim was a member of The Lockers, and that just really blew me away. And I don't know if you knew the married couple, Shields and Yarnell. They did the robotics and miming, and they even had their own TV show. So it was all of these influences that I was getting that was really inspiring me, plus the dances that would come along. You know, they would come and go through the neighborhood. Like every couple of months, a new dance craze would come along. Yeah. Some we invented, some would come from another state, another city, whichever, but all that was going on.
It's funny, when I hear you talk about your dance influences, it reminds me of when I've seen Michael Jackson interviewed many times over the years about who's influenced him in dance. You've got a very similar flavor.
Well, we're the same generation, so I would imagine we were being influenced by the same thing. We must have been. And Michael was as keen at dancing as I was, so we were just paying attention to the same things. Yeah.
Well, obviously, Michael, over the years, appeared on Soul Train many times with his brothers and on his own. And I read that he sought you out on the show because of your dance moves and wanted to learn some of them from you. And it was you that taught him the backslide, which later became the world famous moonwalk.
Right.
How did that meeting first happen?
Well, you know, it's funny because Michael Jackson was always a superstar to us since he was 11 years old.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
From the day the Jackson 5 debuted, it was like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
So I just would not have dreamed that Michael was watching me dance on Soul Train, because I'm watching him and the Jackson 5,
yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah.
And plus the fact I'm the only boy. I don't have any brothers. So watching this group of brothers seemed like so fantastic to me.
Yeah.
So it was when Shalimar were playing at Disneyland, and my road manager came, Stanley Dillard. He said, "Jeffrey, your student's coming to see you." I said, "Huh? What do you mean?" He said, "Your student's coming to see us." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Michael's coming to see you perform tonight." So Mike came, he brought little Janet Jackson, and they stood at the wing of the stage, the Space Mountain stage, and they watched me perform, because everyone was talking about this dance I was doing. It was called the backslide then. It wasn't called the moonwalk yet. It was called the backslide, the whole body popping, the robotics thing. Michael heard so much about it, he came and saw it, and after that, you know, he asked me to come around and teach him.
Be careful what you do. Don't go around picking young girls up.
You're checking out Sweet Grooves right here. Yours truly, Pantelli. That's Michael Jackson, of course, from Motown 25. His famous performance of Billie Jean, incorporating the now world famous Moonwalk, aka Backslide, as taught to him by Mr. Jeffrey Daniel, who we have on our show. We recorded it during the week with the man. It was a real pleasure getting to know him and having a nice long chat about the legendary Shalamar and all his antics in the music business over the years. We'll continue with more from Jeffrey and Shalamar after these.
Stay right here. We've got more Sweet Grooves coming up.
Baby,
So you teach Michael Jackson the moonwalk and he performs it, and the iconic moment happens on Motown 25 when he performs Billie Jean. But if we take it back to 1982, a year before that performance, you perform it in the UK on Top of the Pops. I remember that moment vividly, and it's an amazing performance to A Night to Remember. And it almost transformed you from just being a member of Shalamar, but taking you individually into your own superstardom, especially here in the UK.
Right, it did. Actually, and not knowing it did. Yeah. Not knowing it did. Let me tell you how we found out. I have flown over to the UK to do I Can Make You Feel Good.
Yeah.
And the thing with Top of the Pops is, as long as your song is going up, you can perform on the show, right?
Sure.
So I flew over, and I got in that Wednesday or something, Tuesday or something, but that Wednesday, whatever, the song went down. So I flew over for nothing. So we kind of felt bad, and that. So I hung out in the UK for a little while, flew back to America. So I get back to America, and the reason why I'm by myself is because Jody was pregnant. Jody Watley was pregnant. So the group couldn't go collectively as a whole. So they're sending me over there on my own. So then I get back to America. They go, Jeffrey, A Night to Remember is about to enter the charts. So we're sure we're going to get you on this time. So they flew me back to the UK. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my hotel room, and I just get in front of the mirror, and I put together this routine for A Night to Remember. So I go to the show, I do this routine, then we fly to Amsterdam and we're promoting a song. So the record executive, Simon Frotsham from WEA, he came banging on my hotel door. Jeffrey, come on, you get up. Everyone's looking for you. I'm like, huh, what did I do? He said, everyone's looking for you back in the UK. Oh, I skipped something. He was trying to get interviews for me on the Top magazine. They're kind of like, Shalamar's okay, this and that, but we'll pass on it. Uh-huh. After I did that performance on Top of the Pops, all those magazines are looking for me. Yeah. He said, we got to get back to the UK. That thing you just did the other night, people are going bananas. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. And that's how we found out. hello, everybody. This is your boy, Jeffrey Daniel of Shalimar. You're listening to Sweet Grooves with Mike Pantelli, and this is 100% Soul Music.
It's our Shalimar special with special guest Jeffrey Daniel this week on Sweet Grooves. We played you Some Things Never Change, follow that with A Night to Remember and Help Me. More chat and more Shalimar coming up.
You're listening to Sweet Grooves with Mike Pantelli.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Sweet Grooves right here. It's our Shalimar special, and we're playing classic tracks from Shalimar. Plus, we're talking to the man Jeffrey Daniel from an interview I recorded during the week. And next, I asked him how the creation of the group Shalimar came about.
So, I got on Soul Train. Like, I got on because the first time that I couldn't get in, and then when I did get in, they said, okay, you can get in, but you can't dance, because I got in through a friend dancer of mine, Tyrone Proctor. He got me in.
Okay.
And they, okay, he can get in, but he can't dance. So I sat down, a good record came on, I jumped up anyway. And so anyway, after Jody and I became the most recognizable show, I was very close with the producer, Don Cornelius. I was working in his office. I was a runner.
Right.
I would get their lunches. I would get the trade magazine. I'm driving a Rolls Royce and a Mercedes to the car wash to get the cars washed.
Yeah.
That's literally what I was doing for Don Cornelius and Dick Griffey. And they knew I had ambition. They knew I had talent. And, you know, I don't talk too much. I stay in my own lane and just do what I'm supposed to do. And they started looking out for me. They put together a record company. First, it was Soul Train Records, Dick Griffey and Don Cornelius. Mm-hmm. And they auditioned for a group called the Soul Train Gang. I auditioned for the group and they didn't pick me. And I was wasted because, hey, come on, we are the Soul Train Gang. We're dancing on the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, they put together Soul Train Gang. That went on for a couple of years. One of the members dropped out.
Uh-huh.
They flew me to Washington, D.C. to replace him. And they were on a tour for like a one-week matinee engagement in Washington, D.C. So I ran out on the road and I joined them. When that matinee tour was over with, Don Cornelius called me from Chicago and said, Jeffrey, we're going to finish that Soul Train Gang. The thing isn't happening. We're going to get rid of that. We want to build something around you.
Cool.
I said, really? He said, yeah. And that was the beginning of Shalimar. Now, Jody had never sang before, but her mother is in a choir, so she's singing great. I'm singing in the youth choir.
Uh-huh.
So I started auditioning Jody's voice. And we were going to get another girl because no one knew Jody could sing, but we wanted her in the group because her and I were such a good dance couple together.
Sure.
Yeah. We're very dynamic. So we would have gotten another female. So it would have been four people. But I started training Jody's voice, and Jody just, it came out, and we didn't need the other girl.
So the first real Shalimar lineup then got in the studio and did the Uptown Festival track, which was the Motown medley, wasn't it?
A collage of Motown songs. And that was Jerry Mumford,
yep,
Jody Watley, and myself. But to be honest, on the original recording of that was Gary Mumford and Cleo Kennedy
right.
had made the actual song. Dick Griffey and Don Cornelius about to write a song, and that's when they said, okay, let's put a group together with this song, and that was the beginning.
Yeah, sure. But I guess the first real Shalamar lineup is you, Jody, and the vocalist Gerald Brown. I guess that's the first real time, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's when we really came out with our own hit. And we had that Leon Silvers was our producer. It was the first production with Leon Silvers, who would go on and produce all of our albums.
Yeah.
And Gerald Brown, Take That to the Bank.
Of course. I mean, that's
the time we stayed together, yeah. Through the roughest weather.
And I mean, that's a big, big anthem, especially here in the UK with all the, you know, the old school soul fans. They love that one. Trio Shalamar come through with their first album, Disco Gardens. They're riding high in the charts with Take That to the Bank. And then your lead singer leaves. Tell us what happened there.
This is amazing. Okay, Gerald Brown was in that Soul Train Gang group that they put me in, that they deserved.
Yeah.
So when we put Shalamar together, I said, what about Gerald? Dick Griffith said, Jeffrey, I don't know. He's a handful. I don't know if you can help. I said, no, we get along good. He seems okay. He said, all right, but I'm telling you, he's a handful. So we're on a promotional tour all over America, which I really give credit to Dick Griffith, because he strategized such a great tour. Like, we were going out meeting the retailers. We're going out to the record store. Going out doing club dates. We had a bus that was breaking down on us. We're staying at the worst hotel along the way because Dick Griffin was financing it.
Sure.
We're getting ready to go into New York to do a TV show, but we're in somewhere middle America. I think somewhere around, I forgot, Kentucky or something like that.
Okay.
So we wake up one morning and a road manager goes, oh, Jeffrey, Gerald's gone. I'm like, really? What do you mean? What, he left before us? He goes, no, Gerald's gone back to Los Angeles. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? He says that Dick Griffey wasn't paying us enough money to be doing a promotional tour. I'm like, but this tour, we're not really making money. Like, we weren't famous yet. Some gigs would be half full.
Yeah.
Some would be a quarter full. Some gigs, about 15 people showed up, but we still gave the best show of our life anyway, because we're out there trying to make a name for ourselves. For some reason, he felt that he should have been getting rich doing a promotional tour.
Right.
So he flies back home, and this is his favorite line, his most infamous line. When Dick Griffey is ready to deal with me, tell him to give me a call. This is in 1978. Hmm. Here we are in 2015, and Gerald Brown is still waiting for that call.
So Gerald Brown leaves the group. You're without a lead singer. How does Howard Hewitt become the lead singer of Shalimar?
Okay, I'm even going fast forward. When I asked Gerald Brown to join the group, actually, I asked Howard at that time because I saw him singing at the club we all used to. All the Soul Train dancers used to go there. And Howard was in a house band called Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And they were doing top 20 songs. So I knew he could sing. I asked him to be in the group when I asked Gerald Brown, but Howard had a commitment and he had a tour to do. So he refused it the first time.
Okay.
So when Gerald left us, here we are at the second time. I asked Howard again, and the timing was perfect because he wasn't being too happy with the arrangement he was in.
Okay.
So the second time around asking him, he joined. Our first single was the second time around, yeah. And it was our first gold single.
Me.
It's Mike Pantelli.
Funky.
Sweet Grooves Shalimar special. We are talking to Mr. Jeffrey Daniel. Now, we're at the first gold record for Shalimar the second time around, which comes from the album Big Fun, released in 1979. So tell us about the creative process for this album.
We're selecting songs. We're going through songs. Leon is bringing songs to us. It's like, hey, what do you guys think about this? I think this would be nice. I have ideals. I take it to them if they get vetoed, if they stayed, whatever. So we're going through a whole process of selecting songs. There have been a couple of times we've been on the road and Leon had something he believed in so much he just initiated it in the studio. And when we came off the road, maybe it was there waiting for us. And then, but once we get there, we have input. It's not like everything, like every vocal line or everything is already planned for us.
Yeah, sure.
Or sometimes I could bring a guitar, like the song Playing to Win. I'm doing the vocoder, which is auto-tune, is so famous.
Yeah.
I'm playing guitar on it, different little lists, stuff like that. I'm adding into it. It was always a welcoming thing, like, hey, if you got something great, bring it, you know?
Right, sounds like a great environment to work in.
an amazing environment because I learned so much. Mm. And even when we got a call like, okay, Shalimar, you guys don't have to come in because they're doing the string section or the horn section, mm-hmm. I'd still show up because I just wanted to see and watch and hear what was going on. And it was a school for me. University.
Yeah, fantastic. I should say at this point in the show that your producer, Leon Silvers III, is the man from the group, the sibling group, the Silvers.
The Silvers, yeah. The group, the Silvers, an amazing family group.
Yeah.
And Leon, he helped create the Sound of Los Angeles, Solar Records, S-O-L-A-R, Sound of Los Angeles Records. Leon Silvers created the Sound of Los Angeles.
Most definitely. And so many famous groups from that label. You're talking Midnight Star, Lakeside.
Whispers. Jerry Lucas.
There's so many on there. It's a fantastic
Climax,
lineup.
Dynasty.
Yeah, so many great artists on there. Let's have a little reminder, actually, at how good that label was.
Have you?
a little taste from the Solar record.